Amen. There's a blessing in singing those words, I can tell you. And we ask the Lord in every way that we may serve him without being ashamed of the gospel or ashamed of the book or ashamed of the message of the cross. Now let's all turn to the Word of God, Galatians chapter 6. You might be able to put a marker in the place. I think that would be a big help, because I may turn to another passage for reference, and then I'll want to get back again to this portion of Scripture in Galatians chapter 6. It's a privilege to be here for your Harvest Thanksgiving service. I look forward to the service, to meeting many friends here in the congregation at Magherafelt, and we do ask that the presence of the Lord will be known to us more and more. Even today, may the Lord make his presence known. Remember those who are not so well, and your minister isolating for this season, just as a precaution. We pray that the hand of God may be upon him, upon Mr. McRae as he comes tonight, Mr. Linden too, all who are ministering. We need help from God. We value your prayers, your earnest supplication, that the Lord might breathe upon our hearts. We're looking at this chapter here, Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That just means, I suppose, in a simple way of putting it, we're not to take things for granted. And you, it's a privilege to get to the house of God. I suppose that's one of the lessons this COVID affliction has taught us. We have had heretofore the privilege of getting to the house of God without any sort of restriction at all. And now, perhaps this is one of the side issues. The Lord will show us how important it is for us to have the door open to the house of God for public worship, to get here with the Bible, to look to the Lord on high, especially for a word from himself. Let him that is taught in the word communicate. Communicate can mean different things. It would cover even the thank you. If the Lord speaks to your heart and blesses your words, you should be able to say, thank you for that word. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. For your minister needs encouragement. You need encouragement. Every believer needs encouragement. Now we come to verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It's a great thing to belong to the Lord, to be in God's family, to be among those who believe in the book. They're described here as being in the household of faith. Do you see that? God's dear family. They're special. Let's keep our Bibles open. We'll ask help from God together. It may be good just to change your position. We'll have you, if you can, stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the place of public worship, for the opportunity given to us to gather as we do right now around Thy feet. We come to Thee, Lord. We feel all the time like saying we come poor and needy. We're nothing in ourselves. We cast our burden entirely upon Thee. We thank Thee for every blessing, even for sparing us in these days from infections, from illness, for the health and strength enabling us to be here. Lord, we owe Thee so much. We thank Thee for Thy love. We have been reminded already of Thy love to us in Christ and of the suffering of the Saviour on the cross. Lord, our hearts go out to Thee today in thanksgiving, and we thank Thee for all the benefits of the harvest season, for the goodness of God to us throughout the year. We take opportunity today to gather ourselves unto the Lord to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the benefits of daily life. Thank you for, as we have been reminded, for food on the table, for the mercies of God, even in that respect. Watch over us, Lord. We pray for this congregation. Watch over every household. We thank Thee for those who are in the household of faith. And we pray especially that Thy dear presence will be made known to us now in the meeting and even in our families. Remember those who are not converted. Bring them to the Savior's feet. Remember those who are not so well. We think of Mr. Cairns too. Lord, we cry out as best we know how. We cry out to Thee for mercy to be given and for the touch of Thy hand. We pray for some maybe in the congregation not able to come these days. They feel so unwell. We pray for them the comforting touch of the Saviour and healing grace from God. Remember those who have had to walk the valley of the shadow, even in past days. Lord, still we come to Thee in the loneliness of our grief. We rest on Thee, our shield and defender. We pray for grace from God. And those today in the congregation who feel, because of certain circumstances, their need of Thee, their need of Thy presence, and of a word in season, Lord, draw near, reveal Thyself to us, even to this preacher. Grant the anointing of the Holy Ghost and power. O God, in these times, revive Thy work. Spare the work of God in this time of national difficulty and grief. And we pray for many who are living without God, to take time to seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. Hear prayer now. Visit us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn back to that chapter we have been reading. That's Galatians chapter 6. I want to draw your attention to those words in verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. You'll see that my text is sitting right there in a well-known passage of Scripture. For my text is in a collection of verses that nearly everybody, if not everybody in this congregation, knows very well. Some of you will say, I don't know how many times I've heard a preacher come and minister from Galatians 6. It seems as if here's a passage. We've heard it read over. We've heard preachers bring the message. Somebody will say, oh, I know this verse and I know this passage back to front. And that doesn't make it easy for the preacher. And yet, at the same time, we do well to remind ourselves this is God's holy word. And no matter how well you know this passage of Scripture, there's still something fresh in it. Something new that we haven't quite grasped before. Because God's word is special. And while it is good to read the passage over and over and get to be familiar with the portion, yet there's always something there as a word in season that the Lord has for us. I'm convinced that I have a word from God today. In a way, I feel like Ruth of old. You know the story well. She went out very early in the morning to glean after the reapers. After the reapers had been to the field, they had gathered in all the sheaves. There wasn't one sheaf left. But it was her thought to go into that field just the same. Although the reapers had been there and been working in that field, she had thought she would glean, and that would mean handfuls on purpose. She didn't know that many extra handfuls on purpose were left for her, but just the same, her endeavor that day was to go out there and glean after the reapers. And I suppose I'm like that. All these ministers have come, preached in this text. You know the verse well. Here I am. I'm coming into the field after the reapers. But I mean to glean some. And I'm encouraged immensely to call to mind the fact that Ruth gleaned in superabundance. And she got so much in the harvest field just the same that when she went home to Naomi, he was out of sorts. He was a child of God, but was living through some wretched and miserable times, so she wasn't on top of her form. Yet she came in with such abundance that Naomi was overwhelmed and had to praise the Lord because of the portion received that day. So men and women, we're encouraged. We're coming to this verse. We want to look at it. Verse 9 there. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We know it belongs to the passage. We have to keep those verses together from verse 7 through to verse 9. Be not deceived. That's how the passage begins. You are indeed familiar with the words. And yet, nevertheless, verse 7 states clearly the law of the harvest. Namely, every man, but every man will reap as he sows. Be not deceived. We're not to be under any illusion about it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. The Lord has instituted this law, the law of the harvest. He has set it into motion unchangeably and irreversibly. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This word then is applicable to all men, no matter who they are. There isn't one man alive under the sun, but the law of the harvest certainly applies to him. Take the man on the street. You or I could walk down into Maherfelt today. It wouldn't be an impossibility at all. But we'd meet a man there. He mightn't be the worst of men, but he could be among the hardest. He could take the line, "Oh, I don't believe any of that stuff. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. I have no time for that kind of thing." Men and women, it doesn't matter what he says. He will still reap what he sows. He will face God in the judgment. His sins will find him out. That's what the Bible says. Be sure your sin will find you out. That is part and parcel of the law of the harvest. In many cases, men's sins find them out in this present lifetime. But without a doubt, in the world to come, men's sins will find them out in the great judgment day. Every man will stand before God in the judgment. That's what verse 7 is all about. And there is a danger, perhaps. I don't know what your thought is, but I think there might be a danger. When we get so familiar with a portion, we just fail to take it to heart as we should. This would be a drastic mistake. This is a serious matter. And that man down the street there who has no time for God and thinks that that gives him a kind of immunity, as long as he says, "I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe in God. Don't believe in the Bible." As long as he says that, he may think he can sin and get by. That's a mistake. In that great day when the books are opened, every man, even the vilest of men, the hardest of men, the most abandoned of men, will face God Almighty in the judgment and will give account of the deeds done in the body. There's no way at all, no way whereby you can escape the law of the harvest. And that day the books will be opened. It'll be the day when God will judge the secrets of men according to this gospel, those things that are hidden away, and many have succeeded in covering over their tracks and hiding their sin and even shutting their eyes to it themselves. But in the great day of accounting, men and women, this is the solemn thing. In the great day of accounting, the books will be opened, including this book, the Word of God, and man will face God in the judgment. And in that day when the books are opened, the whole truth will be made known. It will flow out like a river. And man will find out then, to their horror, I'm speaking of the ungodly, they will find out then, to their dismay, what it is to have sown a life of shame and reach a harvest of ruin and everlasting grief. So, in verse 8, we have an illustration of the law of the harvest at work, because it all comes down to the individual. And that's what verse 8 is doing, dividing men into two companies, the saved and the unsaved. And you can see, if we apply the first part of verse 8 to the ungodly, "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." You're not going to reap a harvest of joy and delight if you're sowing to the flesh. If you're sowing to your sin and your shame, you're going to reap accordingly. "He that soweth to the flesh," that is unassailably the law of the harvest for the ungodly man. And then the Christian, "He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." The Christian knows then that ahead of him, I say this for your encouragement, the law of the harvest not only applies to the ungodly man, it also relates to the Christian. There is immense encouragement to the believer here. "He that soweth to the Spirit," if you're living for God, if you have dedicated your life to the service of the gospel, if you're seeking to walk with God, then by sowing to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit everlasting life and all the benefits, all the grace of God that is bound up in that expression. Our hearts then are encouraged. And when we come to verse 9, I take it that verse 9 is an illustration of that latter part of verse 8. Let me put it into words for you. He that soweth to the Spirit. Somebody may say, what exactly does that mean? Well, verse 9 goes a long way to explaining it. That's why I think it's good for us to bundle these verses together, because they're all in the same passage. And I'm looking at verse 9 today as part and parcel of the whole section that I have emphasized for you. He that soweth to the Spirit then shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Somebody will say, I'm not too clear about that. Could you put it into plainer language? Yes. Verse 9. Look at it. Verse 9 explains to a large extent, doesn't say everything about sowing to the Spirit, but it certainly puts us on the right track. It certainly explains what it is to sow in the Spirit. So then, take verse 9 on board with that in mind. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Look at the words there. I believe this is God's message for you just now. First of all, there's a gentle reproof, is there not, in the verse. After all, we have two negatives in verse 9. You can see them. Let us not be weary. That's the first one. It's not the time, men and women, no matter about COVID. It's not the time to lay down the tools and quit the job. But the Lord would stir up our hearts. He would impress upon us the necessity, no matter what the circumstances, to still live unto God and honor the Lord and walk with God. Let us not be weary in well-doing. And then again, the second negative, that we faint not. We're not to lay down the tools. But the word is that if we take verse 9 in entirety, it gives us a wonderful encouragement. It is the intention here to stir up the heart, to spur us on in circumstances in which we find ourselves. Because the Lord is saying, let us not be weary. We can easily grow weary. I think I've got to say that when you get a bit older, tiredness sets in all too quickly, and that's to be regretted, but there's not a thing you can do about it. When you're young, it just seems as if you never get tired, and you have great energy to go from the beginning of the day to the end and keep going still, and some on into the hours of the night as well. Now, young people do get tired too, but not to the same degree. They know nothing about it. So it's possible for some of you today to feel a kind of weariness, a tiredness. But the Lord is saying, there's one thing here. Let's not be weary in the work of love. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's pick up the tools again. Let's get back into the harvest field. Let's follow in the footsteps of Ruth. Let us go there with the mind to glean in God's harvest field and to come back with the abundance that the Lord will undoubtedly supply. Let us not be weary. It spurs you on then, gives you great incentive. Look at the words, you see. This is where I'm coming from. It says here, in due season. You don't necessarily reap today. You may sow today. You may plant the seed, as it were. You may enter into the work and start afresh. That's what we have to do. But you don't necessarily reap the harvest today. The verse is, in due season, that's God's time. I think it's right to say every harvest Thanksgiving service we have, Sometime or other, we sing the hymn, "Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness." You know the hymn well, don't you? "Bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." But that first verse says, "Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eaves, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." Waiting. But we're not good at waiting. That's the difficulty. We sing those words time after time. Waiting for the harvest. But we're not good at waiting. We want the blessing today. But God says here in due season, God has his time. In due season, he gives you this promise that is given the guarantee of God himself. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap. There's no question about it. The Lord isn't saying here, maybe we shall reap. I want to impress this upon you. You're working in the Sunday school or in the children's work or in door-to-door witness or in numerous ways, some of you in the open air this afternoon. I say this to you, we shall reap. That's what God says. We may not reap today, but we're trusting the Lord to fulfill this word. We shall reap. It doesn't say, perhaps we shall reap. Maybe we shall reap. Know it. Know it for a fact. We shall reap. And then the verse says, we. Now, if Paul had said here to the Galatian Christians, pray for us that those of us who are apostles will reap a bountiful harvest. You and I could have gone along with that. We would say, yes, praise God. The Galatian Christians had a part in praying for the apostles laboring in the harvest field. And then they got a bountiful harvest. But it doesn't say that. Paul could say, pray for me and my fellow workers. We may have a bountiful harvest this year. But he doesn't say that. He said, we. That's you and me as well. We shall reap. God's saying to you today, you're going to reap a bountiful harvest. You've been laboring for the Lord. You've been praying. You've been sowing the seeds of God. I want you to know there is a harvest for the child of God, a bountiful, joyous harvest when he will reap in abundance. We shall reap. There's no question about it. We get to that point today where we lay hold on God. We shall reap. Men and women, let's start afresh and seek the blessing of God in everything we do. Even you're just sending a card to someone and you write a scripture text on it. Find the text somewhere. For example, in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms abounds with precious verses. Write them out. Write out a verse in that card and send it to somebody. That's a simple exercise. And I say this to you today. We shall reap. And then comes the words, if we faint not. It's not God's will for you to faint. You know what that means, to fall down in a state of collapse in the work, to give up, to opt out, to let this one and that one and the other one, the congregation, just let them carry on. And you're opting out. Maybe the Lord wants you to do something. That's important. That we say, Lord, here am I. That we take this on board as part of a new beginning to say, Lord, here am I. If I can do something, Lord, for you, show me what I can do today. And let me do it. It's not God's will for us to fall down under a cloud of despondency. The psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Psalm 42 and 5. Why art thou cast down? A child of God can get cast down. He can get so discouraged. He's under a cloud of despondency. I don't believe that despondency has come from God. Because after all, verse 9 here, he's saying we're not to faint. Now that word faint, if we got into the very depths of the expression, it means that the person concerned feels as if I'm going to pieces. I'm just falling to bits. Everything is being torn asunder. That would be part and parcel of fainting. And it's not God's will for us to faint. This is in the epistles here. Even in the miracles of Christ. Could I just show you this? Turn over to Matthew chapter 9. What am I saying here? It's not God's will for you and for me to faint under the heaviness of the burden in life we have to carry. There are many a trial, there's many an affliction, but we have to say, Lord, give me grace to go on. Fill me with the joy of God in my soul. Lord, give me victory in every circumstance. Now, here is Matthew 9. I'll have to try and be quick with this, but it's a very important lesson. If you have Matthew 9 in front of you, let me summarize verse 35. The Lord going about all the cities and the villages and preaching the word, healing people who are sick. And then he saw the multitudes, verse 36. He saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion because they were all diligent disciples. They were all holding on to God in prayer. It says no such thing. You may say, well, I have been discouraged. I'm afraid I have to say I've given up. I haven't been reading God's word as I should this past while. I seem to have lost the joy. I seem to have lost the testimony. I seem to be missing the fellowship. Now, the Lord is saying here, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they fainted. Sometimes when you're under the cloud, you get the wrong view of the Savior. You might even think the Lord is disappointed in you, that the Lord has given up on you. But that word because, could you take a pencil or a pen, just underline it? He was moved with compassion because they fainted. Their strength had gone. They just fell down, as it were, by the roadside. They did. I'm sure they didn't physically collapse. We were talking about their heart and their spirit. They'd just come to an end of things. They left down the tools. They had opted out of the work. And he was moved with compassion because they fainted. And when you reach that point in your life when you just get under the cloud and you may feel desolate and lonely and left, our Lord Jesus Christ cares for you at such a time. Now, I haven't time to expound on this, but you just look quickly at 37 and 38. This is happening at a time when there was never a greater need for men with all industry to get into the work. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers. There's a great need just here as we look at the verse for laborers to get into the field. And yet for all that, the Lord has time for those who just have fallen down by the wayside. The burdens of life have been too much. And they're overwhelmed in heart and spirit as if now they've come to that point where they must opt out in everything. And I have shown you now the Lord is moved with compassion for them because they fainted. They were like sheep scattered abroad. They had no shepherd. It's as if they didn't have that intimacy of fellowship they enjoyed in earlier times. Are you walking with God today as you did in years gone by? Look at Matthew 15, if you will. Just turn a page or two over. It's another miracle. Matthew 15. This is a wonderful thing. We're reading our text, of course. Keep it in mind. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You're doing the right thing. You're reading God's word. You're seeking to pray. You just haven't seen the encouragement you wanted to see. God is saying wonderfully, we, men and women, all of us in this company, we shall in due season reap if we faint not. Let's pick up the tools again. Let's get back into the work. Let's, with new resolve, press on with God. There is need for some. Oh, I wish I could call you by name. I wish I could look up into the gallery there or down here in the ground floor and just call you by name and point you out. If we could do that without embarrassment, that would be the ideal thing. But then we can't avoid embarrassment. And therefore, we just shun that opportunity. But I say to you, I wanted to be as personal as that. Just see where you're sitting today. You could, I would invite you to do this. Just where you're sitting today, look down at your knees. And then beyond your knees, see your shoes there. And allow me to say, as sure as you are here, sitting in this church today, you will reap a bountiful harvest. We shall reap if we faint not. Now, in Matthew 15, this is the feeding of the 4,000. These people had been with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 days. Many of them had traveled long, long miles to get there. And the Lord has taken into consideration the three things. First of all, how far these people had come, many of them. And secondly, how long they had spent in his presence. It was like a 3-day convention. But the Lord's saying here, in case you haven't got the verse, you can pick up in verse 31 and 32 especially. Look at this. This is amazing. The Lord takes into account how far they've had to come over very rough terrain, hills and valleys. It has been difficult to get there for this 3-day convention. And now the Lord takes account of the days they give, they sacrifice to be there. Some of these people would have needed to work on the farm, but they gave up the time. They gave these 3 days to the Lord just to sit there and listen to his word, just to drink in everything he said. And the Lord takes account of the fact that they give these 3 days. Do you see that? They have been with me, he says. They have been with me 3 days, hearing my word. Now we come to the key thing. He says they have nothing to eat. So the Lord takes account then. First of all, how far they have had to come to get there. Secondly, that they have spent this time, 3 days, one day after the other. And thirdly, no food. I tell you, that's saying something. No food. 3 days. And now the time has come to end the convention. The Lord's going to send them home. But that's where you see the striking thing. I want you to see the kind of Savior you have. You look at verse 32. Find the word because again. Remember, we saw it in chapter 9. Because. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. The same sort of thing. Because, he says, they continue with me. You're still going on with God. They continue with me now. 3 days. Nothing to eat. Now, this is what I want you to see, the kind of Savior you have. Please see this. I will not send them away with nothing. The word fasting is there in the verse, of course. But that's the sense of it. They've been here. They've come a long way. They've struggled to get here, really struggled to get here now. And they've listened devotedly to my word. And they've stayed here for 3 days, not a bite to eat. And I'm not going to send them. I'm not going to send them away with nothing. Before we have prayer today, conclude this service, I want you to know, surely as you have come to the house of God, in these days of restriction and isolation, and some of our friends are not so well, we're crying to God for them. The Lord is saying to you, here again, I wish I could just call you by name. And he's saying, I'm not going to send you away empty. I'm not going to send you away with nothing. I have this word. That's the Savior I have. That's the Savior you have. A portion for you, just for you today. That before you go, you may say, I'm walking with God. I've delighted my soul in his word. What about you if you're not a Christian? A terrible thing to reap a harvest of shame and woe, and you not saved, and hearing the gospel all this while. Isn't the Lord speaking to you today, dear friend, without Christ, and you've been prayed for in this congregation? I tell you what, it's in my mind, while the congregation file out, I'll just stay in the pulpit here. And if God's speaking to your heart, do stay. Let me help you from the book. The Lord's not going to send you away empty. No way. So he has a portion for you, dear sister. He has a portion for you, my dear brother, and young person too. A word in season for you. Let's bow in prayer. Isn't that good to know? I'll not send you away empty. No. Just you lift your heart now. And you call on the Lord. You can say, Lord, what will you have me to do? Help me to go on with God. Maybe some of us have just felt the difficulties, fainting by the wayside, just going to bits, just going to pieces. That was what the word meant, as we said. And yet, you can pick up the pieces again in some way. Whatever way the Lord would have us respond. For example, in my case, I can't slide down the banisters anymore. I've got a lot older since then. So if the Lord is blessing me today, I'm not going to have the ability to skip about like a 21-year-old. No, I have to relate to common sense. But is there something I can do? Can I make in some way, can I make a new beginning? He's not going to send me away empty. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, for keeping grace. Be with everyone today, those who especially now are calling upon thee. May we break fresh ground with God. Shine upon us in thy love. Lord, grant us a blessing today. Help us as we disperse. Take us to our homes in safety. Make this a blessed day indeed, a precious time with God. In Jesus' dear name, amen.